this possibly the final Resources Scrutiny Committee of 2021. I don't think there's any more. The next time we see each other will be in the new year.
Of course, we've got mince pies then, Chairman.
Sorry?
Today,
unfortunately, it's so early. It's too much too early for Christmas, you
rubbish.
See.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so I get the meeting open or whatever one does. We'll go through the agenda. We've got the minutes of the last meeting, of 17th of August. Are you happy they're true and correct record? And I can sign them. Thank you very much. There we are, that's duly signed. Apologies for absence.
Yes, I've got an apology from Councillor Dodson, and apparently Councillor Nixon may be a little late tonight.
That's right. And also, Councillor Price has very kindly notified me that he may have to leave the meeting sometime between 6:30 and 6:45 because there's another engagement. Thank you for that. Okay, so then we come on to public question time.
That's nil.
Council session.
That's nil.
Called in items.
And that's nil.
Members,
I wonder if I can ask some guidance. I, in my business life, do work for Veolia, but not with anybody involved with this area. I also do work for some of the companies mentioned further in the report. And I just think that is worth mentioning an interest and obviously carry on.
Ian, any comments you have?
We're not actually making a decision on it tonight, so you can listen to the debate. So
I'm okay
not
to
make a formal decision on the report tonight.
I'm okay to ask questions as well.
Ah, so you can ask questions. Okay, fair enough. Right, thank you for that. You're not doing this in the sort of way that Geoffrey Cox does, isn't it? You don't have that. Never mind, we'll move over that slowly. So then we come on to officers' reports, which is item 7A, which is the first one, the star of the show, scrutiny of the waste contract. Now, we have with us tonight, or this evening, Graham Smith, who's the business manager. Where's Graham? There we are. Thank you very much, Graham. And Sean Donoghue is the general manager for North and Midlands, behind me. I don't mind someone sitting behind me when they're not a politician. I get a bit more worried than they are. Okay, so and but the way we're going to play this tonight, or this evening, is that the two officers from Veolia are going to give a presentation, about 10 minutes or so presentation. Evening, Councillor Nixon. Thank you. And thank you for your apologies for lateness, which you provided. Do that for about 10 minutes or so. Then we have some questions from the members. And after that, comments from one or two officers, questions from the members, and then just to give everybody a fair crack of the whip, as it were, we'll go through it page by page. So if there's any bits which need to be picked up, you can do that. And then that'll put that item to bed, as it were, and we'll move on. So we'll kick off then with the presentation from Graham and Sean. So over to you, gentlemen.
Thank you very much. Thank you for inviting us here tonight. I'll go through and give a quick view of the slides, the presentation, my able assistant over there.
I'm
not so able. I'm the business manager for the contract for Stafford Borough Council, based in Tollgate Drive. And this is a sort of overview of our annual summary for the year 2020 to 2021. We're going to be scrolling, not clicking. Can everyone see that?
Sorry, we work off Google. Can you see it okay?
It's like being the opticians.
Can you zoom in?
Is that better?
Okay.
It's better than it was before. Can you see it? Can you see it in the back, as it were?
Yeah, no, that's good. So that thing's not as good. This is to get an overview of our partnership working between Veolia and Stafford Borough Council. So in this previous year, 2021, some service changes, which are listed there in terms of removal of bring sites, which was the bring sites that were based at Asda, Tesco, Sainsbury's, places like that. They were removed, which was a joint venture between Staffordshire Council and Veolia operationally. We introduced a charge for garden waste, which again took a lot of time and planning, working together. And I think the fact that there was a 60% sign-up shows that it was a successful introduction. It was more than we were hoping for. We also introduced the change to the blue bag and blue bin service for recycling collections. So that principally is the removal of card from the mixed recycling stream into a separate stream with paper, which creates a paper and mixed fibre stream. Improves the quality of the material, reduces contamination, also ensures a sustainable market, and also ensures that we had greater control over where the material and destinations were, so we could ensure that it stayed wherever possible in this country. Introducing a simpler method for residents. It was also thought to hopefully be in line with future changes that may be coming. Next down, we've got the coronavirus pandemic. Obviously, we're all aware of what happened. Obviously, the first lockdown in April last year was when we were due to roll out the changes to the blue bag service. So prior to the lockdown, we actually managed to roll out 60,000 bags to properties within the Staffordshire area. So obviously, there's strong communication all through the pandemic as well. We had to make sure that we were we had staff involved, obviously, but every day we had a daily call to give an update on where we were in terms of attendance of staff, vehicles, and any issues that we're having. But as part of this, we also put in strict safety guidelines within the depot, such things as changing start times for crews, keeping crews separate, reducing the amount of access they had to welfare facilities, and obviously there was an increased amount of PPE that was required to ensure that all the staff and residents were safe as well. We didn't have, luckily, very few cases in the actual depot, especially in the first period of it. We did have a lot of employees that were self-isolating due to partners and different members of family that were affected. But we were quite lucky in the fact that we didn't have that many. There was no positive cases initially. And then at one point, I think we did have an attendance up to about 40% staff off. But because we'd rolled out the bags previously, we had a lot of inducted agency staff. So they were managed to fill the gaps that we had in our own regular staff as well. So although we couldn't plan for the pandemic, because we had planned for the rollout of bags, we had got plenty of staff available to use. Some of the other items that we've done in partnership working is obviously the Love Littleworth campaign, which we work with a number of different authorities and staff, police and housing associations as well. It was part of tidying up the area. As part of that, we removed over 200 excess bins from back alleys and different places that were just left lying around and being used. We've also introduced an adverse weather plan, on there, which was introduced in early 2020. We've had limited use of it so far, but it has been used, and it has kind of led into the way that we sort of deal with issues where we have collection issues, where it's a constant message of leave your bin out, which means that a resident can leave their bin out, and then, you know, whenever possible, we will get there. So we always try and continue those collections. Yeah, it's reviewed annually, but we also have invested in depot, so we'll show some pictures a little bit later on. But in terms of improvement within the depot, welfare facilities have been vastly improved, introduced LED lighting, fuel tank and different things to improve the sustainability of the contract. Obviously, it's the only that we invest within the depot. We are in here for a lengthy contract, so we're prepared to invest. I'm working closely with the council.
Next slide.
Very difficult to see that slide, but there's... I did say able assistant.
No, well, no, you don't have able on Google.
So these are the collected weights for the last year. This is obviously from the annual summary. And I think the point to note really on these is on the column on the right hand side where you see the increased black line. That is the paper and fibre. That was the increase that was moved from the blue column, obviously, but it's increased in its total value, which is the recycling rate. And also, there's a slightly higher green line on that one, which represents the refuse collections. This obviously had an impact from COVID, more people working at home, increased refuse, increased card and different things as well. So we were impacted on those. And in January 2021, when we introduced the charge for garden waste, but yet the garden waste weights as such are still very constant. I think, if I remember right off the top of my head, there's not much difference between the two. But as you can see from there, they pretty much remain the same in that first early part of the year.
Next one.
Yeah. Yeah, just a few of the pictures from the depot, the investment improvements. Obviously, we've introduced the fuel tank, which is on the right-hand side. It's a 20,000-litre fuel tank, which has proven a sound investment considering the fuel issues that we may be having or others have experienced, but we've not, touch wood, had any issues with it. You can see on the left-hand side there's an introduction of the installation of the interceptor, which was done by Staffordshire Council. Obviously, it ensures obviously environmental compliance as well as legal compliance as well. So all of the new buildings and all the welfare that has been done on with strict safety guidelines, as you can see on the left hand side. Obviously excavating a lot of work does present its problems.
Next one, Sean.
So these are some of the things that we do within the community. Obviously, we're aware that we're part of the community. We want to be involved in the community. For 3 years running now, we have been involved in the Community Awards as the main sponsor. We've done dementia training, obviously, with in line with the council as well. From the community wards and also some local connections that we have, we've been working with Imani's Incredible Eats. We do some different things with them, Roots Larder. And we work quite closely with this. A lot of these things are done by the workforce, so it's not something that's driven necessarily by the management, although we are all involved. And obviously the unions help as well. The two main union reps are very focused on helping the community. So each year we do the same sort of timely things in terms of Easter egg collections, Christmas selection boxes. We help food banks. I think the bottom picture there is all the food items that we sent to different food banks in Stafford and Stone. Two vanfuls, I think, eventually went. And the guys have already started again this year collecting, so we'll be looking to help where we can with other community projects. On the right-hand side, well, the top two pictures are a local resident who, during the pandemic, we had a lot of support from the general public, and this young man used to come out and bring the lads biscuits and cakes and different things. So once, well, a couple of weeks ago when we were able to invite him up to the depot, he came up to the depot. He's very keen on the big trucks, so we showed him around the depot, showed him the recycling, got him involved. But he absolutely loved it. And yesterday he came up and bought a big thank you poster that he'd done for us all. So there's a lot of things that we do within the community. Obviously, those are the things that we really enjoy doing, in fairness. So, obviously, these are annual service improvement plans. So these are the things that we work on. So from the previous year, we introduced service changes, which we've gone through, which have been completed. There's an anti-contamination drive in there, which is ongoing, which is always ongoing. It's always an issue that we have in terms of contamination, although I believe it's not. It's quite good in terms of other contracts operated by Veolia. Resident survey was delayed. We've been working on the collection of excess and unauthorised containers. That's sparked off from the Love Littleworth campaign. But we're doing smaller projects over the last year to improve cluster points and collection areas where we've got excess bins and unauthorised bins. And then hopefully in the new year we'll be increasing that to a more wider area. Agreed recycling rate targets were completed, and obviously as we've gone through the installation of on-site fuel tank and tollgate drive. And then for this year, the annual service improvement plan includes the GreenPath carbon footprint modelling, which one of our staff members has been trained on but hasn't completed the actual modelling yet, but he has completed the training, so now he'll be looking at that for us. Again, anti-contamination drive, and also the environment bill. So it was passed through yesterday, so it now remains to be seen what is going to come out of that. So we will see what happens. That's all from me. Yeah.
That's the presentation.
That's the presentation.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Thank you very much for that presentation. Well, now we come to Lee. I wonder whether you'd like to respond to that presentation. If you'd like to fill us into any aspects of it which you feel necessary, and then we'll continue with questions from members. Thank you very much.
I'll just start by saying. Got a very strong relationship with Veolia, a very healthy relationship. We're very satisfied with the service that Veolia provide, with the partnership working that we conduct with Veolia as well. That's not just through the formal contract meetings which we have, which of course are a necessity for the contract, but also day to day. Any assistance, any help you need, Veolia have been very helpful. It's a pleasure to work with Veolia. We believe we offer a very good service to our residents. That can be seen throughout the pandemic. So, you know, we faced huge challenges over the last year and beyond. And for Veolia to suffer absenteeism of up to 40% of the workforce, but still continue to offer a very good service with minimal disruption, I think is a testament to the relationship between the council and throughout that time, as well, as Graham's just discussed, we've introduced service changes as well. So there was a lot of work to do there, a lot of work to get through. We completed that successfully, as Graham has said, and actually, you can see that other authorities are starting to follow suit as well. So, for example, the introduction of the blue bag, we're one of the first in stature to introduce that, and others are now starting to follow suit. Now, starting to hear about the success of. That way to recycle. The future, I think, now is interesting. Now we're through, hopefully, the worst of the pandemic, we can now start to look at some of the key points that were raised in the report here around the carbon footprint of Veolia and other matters as well. So we're very satisfied with the service that Veolia provided on the pandemic as well. There were certainly other authorities that suffered much more disruption and was much more upheaval than we did. And as I say, I think that's a testament to the guys in Veolia and the relationship we have with them as well.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Thank you. And now, members, it's time for your questions. I understand, Councillor James, you have a question.
So they've announced the new waste and resources strategy. So what impact will this have on your services locally?
Well, the first thing I'll say is that obviously members of the public incentivised financially by recycling. The deposit return scheme will affect what we actually collect from the curbside. Yeah. So the expectation is that we would the percentage of recycling would reduce by how much at this stage, so you know that it's not measurable. But then again, the introduction of dedicated food waste collections will also sort of bolster the recycling. So at this moment in time, it's difficult to predict what the total effect is, whether one will net off the other, but there will be some effect we would expect.
But actually, councillors, you are entitled, if you wish, to have a supplementary question at least. So, is there another question on that topic?
My supplementary would be so clearly, if the food waste is going to be separated, how's that going to be? How are you going to do that? Are you going to expect people to put in plastic bags?
A lot of my contracts actually have a dedicated food waste collection already. Usually, residents are provided with a kitchen caddy with like a cornstarch liner to put inside the caddy, and then presented with a curbside caddy in order to tip the waste into. That's the main way that it's done on other contracts, apart from the odd one whereby the food is actually mixed in at the moment with the green waste.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you. The next question is from Councillor Kenny.
You've touched on carbon footprints in the presentation. What current measures are you taking regarding the carbon footprint, your carbon footprint, and what are you looking at doing in the future?
Okay. Well, as a company, we set ourselves a target of 2050 to get to net zero. At the moment, our greenhouse gas emissions, 96% of them are generated from direct and indirect processes. So the direct processes are things like our vehicles, our energy from waste plants, landfills, etc. So we've got what seems like a slow plan, a gradual plan, based upon the expectation of the introduction of new technologies. Over the next 8 years to 2030, we intend to reduce it by 8%. We've already started to bring in electric vehicles. That's our future, where we're developing electric vehicles rather than going down the gas route or going down the HVO route, although one or two contracts already have HVO in the fuel to bring down the carbon footprint. Then 2030 to 40 is when we expect new technology to come along whereby we can reduce our carbon footprint even further, by 54%. And then by 2050, the remaining 38%. So our future is investing in technologies in order to take the carbon out of our processes, such as energy from waste facilities, and from a fleet perspective, to invest in electrical vehicles.
Thank you.
Okay. Any would you like a supplementary at all? Okay. So then we move on to Councillor Baldesi.
The national shortage of HGV drivers is affecting the service locally, or is likely to affect it?
Locally, we've been very lucky, or fortunate, or good management, in that we haven't had any issues with driver shortages. If anything, we've had opportunities to take on drivers where we have done. We've carried extra staff in case the fact that we do lose some drivers. But we are very lucky. We've had one that left, but we were one over and above, and we have got people that are willing to come and work for us when we've got positions. So we are very fortunate, and more fortunate than a lot of contracts.
And I would add to that that Stafford is probably one of the best performing in that matter throughout our BOD's portfolio. We've got lots of problems elsewhere, and we've not really had any at all, have we?
Supplementary at all?
No.
Okay, fine. So then we move on to Councillor Brown. I believe you have a question, Councillor Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think this was touched upon in the actual presentation, but I just wanted to clarify that you've had no issues with supply of fuel and it hasn't impacted the service at all.
No, not at all. We introduced the new fuel tank in February, and as a company, we have a contract with fuel suppliers that we've not seen any drop off or anything. Obviously, when the first issue was raised publicly, we did check with suppliers, but no, they guaranteed our supply and have done ever since. In question, so.
As a company, we purchase hundreds of thousands of litres in advance, which are held as stock, so we're able to draw from that stock, so that virtually guarantees supply.
Okay. The next question, and we're back to Councillor James again, aren't we?
What are your priorities over the next 12 months to help improve the service further? Just over the next 12 months?
Thanks for that.
Our priorities. I've been responsible for this contract for about 18 months now, and I saw the immediate need was to make sure that we're operating our onboard technology efficiently. Because the onboard technology inevitably allows us to drive our key performance indicators. And I think certainly over the last 12 months, our performance has improved dramatically because of the use of that system. So our priority certainly over the next 12 months is to make sure that we maintain them levels and probably take them to the next levels. That we start to develop our onboard systems a little bit further, whereby we use them more as a communication tool, which is what we do on some of the other contracts, you know, whereby we can deliver important information to the crews, toolbox talks on health and safety, etc., etc. So that would be, I think, our main focus. We need to be looking at maybe doing some round balancing, because inevitably, on a contract like this, where we've got quite extensive new property growth, we have to constantly look at the actual collection rounds and balance them, whereby we can get the efficiency, get the crews back in on time, whereby some crews are not working late and others are finishing early, because we like to operate like a team environment. And by sort of balancing the rounds, we're future-proofing the contract. So if you don't rebalance the rounds and you end up with a lot of new properties in one area, inevitably you get all the weight of the work on one particular vehicle and it could break, basically. So I would say then the two key changes or things that we need to be keeping on top of. Have you got anything to add?
Councillor Hart, you'd like to come in?
Yes. You mentioned about food waste collection as a separate thing. You're quite aware that we are in a very rural area and we have some quantity of rodents such as foxes and badgers, which will rip through anything. So are they going to be badger proof? Because that would be one thing that you are going to have a problem with if you don't. Because they are everywhere.
Are the bins badger proof? I mean, I can't really answer your question.
They're small bins. But they're very, very powerful, badger is, and it'll just rip through. You've got food in there, they'll just rip right the way through it.
Yeah.
It's very powerful, aren't they?
I'm not an expert on the actual plastic content of the containers. But I can certainly go away and find out where the badger population is on our other contracts.
They're everywhere, but they just destroy it. I mean, they can get through the bend metal and things like that, so you can have a job.
What, with their bare paws?
Yeah.
But can't surprise me.
Steel, as in bend that.
No, but they are big. We've got some badgers in our back lane. In Stafford, Central Stafford. But I think, Councillor Price, you're not going to talk about badgers, are you?
Well, I was going to start with badgers.
Okay, so, I mean, you're going to move on swiftly.
Yeah, it's clear the council has obviously got into skirmish with badger at some point. Just a couple of points. Newcastle is currently running a food waste scheme. That's been running quite successfully. They do have some rural areas. I'm not aware of any badger issues, but I would certainly ask. But just the key points around food waste as well. It's not about how much food waste we can collect. We don't want to be collecting any food waste because we don't want any food waste to start with. So that's something obviously that we need to work towards as well.
Okay, thanks very much indeed. Now, I understand actually that Councillor James has another question on hydrogen this time.
The answer of having electric vehicles is all very well and good, but the answer must be to move towards the hydrogen, either as hydrogen fuel cell or hydrogen combustion engine. What are your plans for doing that, given that you're a huge organisation and therefore have the buying power and in fact the request of the technology people, this is what we want. How are you going to go about that?
Well, I mean,
As a company, strategically, we've chosen to go down the electrical route, and the reason for that is because we believe at this stage that hydrogen fuel is untested, particularly in HGV vehicles. And basically, in a situation like that, we'll sit back and let somebody else do the experimentation.
Given that JCV are doing it, right, and there are several councils further north that have got buses operating on hydrogen, we've got trains operating on hydrogen. I forgot to mention the aviation. There's three aircraft that are operating on hydrogen.
And the train?
Yeah. And ships as well.
I don't know to answer your question. Inevitably, strategically, bear in mind the number of energy from waste facilities that we actually operate. For example, at the moment in London, we've rolled out our first two full electric fleets at Westminster in the city. So the next step there is to be able to charge those vehicles from the burning of our waste in London. So that's the direction we are going in strategically, whereby we focus on electric because we're in a position whereby we can utilise the energy that we're producing in a lot of our plants. Mm. I'm not saying that we're not going to experiment with hydrogen, but certainly from our perspective it's on the back shelf at the moment.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that, thank you. And we've also got one from Councillor Godfrey.
Thank you, Chair. How are people managed the consequences of the pandemic whilst continuing to provide services for our residents?
Well, as I touched on in the presentation, we've had a lot of agency staff in the bit used. We did have a lot of absenteeism, but because we'd already predicted that we would need these additional agency staff within the bag rollout. We did have a lot of extra resource that we were able to pull on. And obviously, taking as many safe guidance that we could give to the guys in terms of keeping their distance and different things to limit the amount of impact it had on us. That's basically how we managed it.
I mean, it was very much controlled from the top of our business. A COVID response team was set up. And they, on a week-to-week basis, were meeting and sort of flexing any of the instructions, and immediately that communication was then sent to all managers to make sure that we followed it. Obviously, some followed it better than others. I would say that we certainly did here at Stafford, based upon the number of actual positive cases, which was very, very low when you consider the number of employees that we've got and the number of employee hours that we've been working. So it was basically about discipline, making sure that guys were wearing and girls were wearing masks, making sure that they followed the hygiene procedure of washing the hands and using the antibacterial soaps, etc. So it's purely discipline, really.
Just follow the chair.
Can't
in percentage terms, then, how do you feel the performance varied from like the year before when there was obviously no COVID?
Are you talking about comparing this year to last year?
Yeah.
I think operationally we were probably affected in the first year of it. And to be fair, a lot of people were nervous about it at the time, and we were nervous about it as well. And we weren't wanting to take this. I believe the service was affected. Like you said, we lost 40% of the staff at one stage. And because as people are nervous about it, they're very quick, obviously, to you know, slight bit of a sore throat and jump off sick. And then once they jump off sick, suddenly you've got to quarantine other people as well. But I think as people got more and more used to the actual virus, we've not really had a problem at all in 2020.
So it's more or less it's comparable to the year before the virus started.
I think so. Yeah, I think people have started to learn how to live with it and realised when people have been locked down for so long, they need to get out of the house. They'd rather be working than sitting at home.
Of course, vaccinations have helped enormously, haven't they?
Yes,
you know, the double jabs and then the booster doses for the elderly and so on. That's had a big impact on a reduction in the incidence of.
That's a really good point, and it's a really good point because In the first year, if somebody was tested positive COVID, then we had to quarantine the rest of the crew. Whereas the latest rule is that if, as long as those two loaders on a refuse vehicle, if the driver's got positive COVID, as long as they've got been double jabbed, then they don't need to quarantine. We ask them to take a test immediately, and if it's negative, we allow them to return to work. So that's helped considerably.
So to you, Chair, just briefly, so if there is a spike again, which there could well be during the winter period, we've got coming before us, you're confident we'll be able to get the same service going?
We're in a much better place now.
Okay, thanks very much for you, Councillor Godfrey. And Councillor Price.
Thank you, Chairman. Yeah, I have to say that the service that we owe you, and the partnership working with the staff of our council through the COVID pandemic has been absolutely excellent. I can't praise the staff of the OEI and the staff of our council any higher. Although we had a few concerns going through, I mean, they went above and beyond. A couple of things as well, staff of our council also supplied a couple of members of staff to support the OEI where there were low numbers. We had contingency plans in place as well, so that if worst case scenario, we would drop, say, the brown bin collection, but we would continue with the green bin, which is the most important one as well. Communication was absolutely key through the entire pandemic. The communication between Veolia, Robert, and myself was absolutely fantastic. I knew every day exactly where we were and what was happening. And again, that's down to Veolia and the fantastic contract that I think we have with them. So, as I said, I've covered the increased dialogue as well. I mentioned operational changes. What can I say? I deal with various areas, not only accounting as well, and certain things worry me and keep me awake at night. The Veolia contract is not one of them, as far as I'm concerned.
Which ones are, as a matter of fact?
That's for another time, Chairman. But I will say, you know, I have been continually impressed with the staff at Veolia, and I can say more than that.
Thank you very much. Oh,
thanks very much indeed, Councillor Price. Are there any other questions, Councillor?
Presumably it may have a little bit easy with having less brown bins to collect since the charge has been put in place.
Do you want to answer that one as positively as possible?
Don't look at me like that.
Not necessarily. What we've got to remember is, 60% participation. I don't think there's another contract within Veolia's portfolio that achieved the 60% level, seriously. There's so many positive things about this contract, whether it be the 60% participation, whether it be recycling contamination at around about 10%, when most of our contracts are on between 20 and 30%. And I put that down to the fact that it's quite well run. But with regards to the green waste, what you've got to remember is whether there's 10 bins out there or 10,000 bins out, you've still got to follow that line to find out where the bins are. So I'm not so sure it particularly takes the pressure off us just by 40% of the residents not participating in the service.
If I can to you, Chair, but on your graph, it's very interesting in the report, and obviously on your presentation there, you can see that it's the same level of green waste. Now, presumably, that's for people staying at home more, doing more gardening, because if there's less bins and it's at the same level, I'm assuming that's the case anyway. Now, when it goes back to normal, do you foresee the levels of green waste dropping?
I think the levels at which the volumes, the weights that the green waste are at the moment probably fall in line percentage-wise compared to a lot of our other contracts. It's inevitable just because 60% of the participation, about 40% of the participation drops off doesn't mean that 40% of the volume drops off, because if I live next door to you and I've got a bin and you haven't and you're mowing your lawn, I said, my bin's not full, I'm paying for it, put your green waste in my bin. So you do find that people utilise the green bin a lot more than they're actually paying for it, and therefore pro rata the percentage of waste per resident doesn't decrease.
Right, thank you very much. I'll come back to you in a moment, Kathy. You're having a large share of this, you know. Member, sorry?
I am the portfolio.
Indeed, but you're not actually officially a member of this committee. You're one of the people who's invited to the committee. But I don't want to press that point. But members, are there any further questions from yourselves to our guests? Well, again, you're not invited to the committee entirely, Councillor Smith, so we'll have you on later. It'll be a pleasure. But I want to deal with members first. Members, do you have any further questions? No? Okay, that's fine. Right, well, Councillor Smith, you haven't spoken before.
No,
so I shall start with you then.
It's just a few questions that arose during the presentation. one of the things that was mentioned is the food waste. And the fact that they've already got existing contracts. I'd like to know, does that food waste go into anaerobic digesters that they own, or are they subcontracting it out? That's the first question. I've got 3 points.
Well, should we have an answer to that one first? Otherwise, we might lose them, okay?
Predominantly, contracted out, because obviously, depending upon where the actual contract is, if we don't have a facility nearby, it's rather than sort of book it up and ship it some distance and improve our or make our carbon footprint even worse.
Yeah,
we seem to have a group of suppliers that provides with facilities as well as possible.
But that means you won't be able to benefit from the electricity that you're generating?
No, we wouldn't. No.
Okay. The other point was on contamination. I noticed the slide showed a much improved situation since the blue bag was initiated. But I had some complaints recently regarding somebody whose bin wasn't emptied because they put bubble wrap in their blue bin. And in fact, when this lady contacted me, there was a lot more that she was putting in the blue bin than she should have been putting in. So I just wondered what you're going to do to reinforce the message on contamination.
It's a constant review of contamination in terms of communication with residents. And obviously we also, each crew has an onboard device that they can report contamination. So we do have information on where the contamination occurs. And again, it's really a piece of a communication.
So we'll put bin hangers on.
Yeah, bin hangers to make the residents aware of what they've done wrong. And we also take photos as well while we're there. So that as soon as they do contact the contact centre, then the contact centre are aware of what the issue is.
Do you hand them out a leaflet that says, look, this is what you can put in when you find this?
We don't do that as standard with everywhere, but we do have stickers that we can leave on bins to advise the residents of what they are. And there is something in progress that we're starting to work on over the last month, producing a sticker that can go onto all bins if there is the item. So it's kind of a nudge to say you've tried to recycle, but you've not quite got it right, but this is what we can do going forward. So, yes.
And the last point I wanted to make, Chairman, was it's largely been covered by Councillor James there, but the electric vehicles, I can understand you're using electric vehicles for your stacking machines and the loading machines and the waste area, but I'm not convinced about heavy goods vehicles being electrically propelled. I recently read about these vehicles being heavier size for size, therefore you will use more wear on tyres and more wear on brake lines unless you've got regenerative braking. And if that is the case, then we could be heading for another diesel fiasco where everybody was told to buy diesel. It reduced the amount of CO2, but it could introduce other contaminants. So if you're going to get more bits of tyre floating about or more bits of brake lines floating about, that could be a danger. And I think from what we read last week regarding Mr. Bamford and his JCBs and the hydrogen supply, hydrogen power vehicles, I know what you said, but the technology isn't there yet. But that's the way I think we should be doing.
Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt about particulates. And we already say some of the particulates are already from tyres, bits of dust from the tyres and brake stuff. Yeah, so we're already getting that. If you're saying it could actually increase with battery operation.
Yeah, well, a car size for size is considerably heavier It's considerably heavy and it will be producing more tyre waste. It may not be producing more brake lines. Depends on, you know, if you buy an expensive one which has got regenerative braking, then you might get some feedback from that.
Any comments on that?
No, I think you're right in what you're saying, but what consideration has to be given to the fact that these refuse collection vehicles are literally putting the driving at a pace to a street, and then they're literally going at less than 2 miles an hour whilst they're actually doing the run. So it's not like they're hitting speeds whereby they're actually burning tyres out. And I accept that your point about the weights, and obviously there's the cost element as well, because they are twice the cost of the current diesel vehicle. So, but at the moment, at this moment in time, people that have far more technically brilliant than me have made the decision that electric is the future.
Oh, I don't know about that. It was the government that's made the decision, not the engineers.
The engineers are making the decision.
Okay. I mean, I wonder if I could just add something else to the questions you had about recycling. I mean, my biggest frustration is the fact that there is so little that I can recycle. I mean, in terms of plastics. I look assiduously at all my packaging to see whether I can recycle it, and invariably it says not currently recycled, or, you know, maybe recycled locally. I think, well, where the hell? Is it in Stafford? What happens there? Or just not recyclable, you know? So in it goes to the ordinary bin, and I can't put it in the recycling bin. And therefore, I mean, the major part of my recycling seems to be bottles, which can be quite a pleasure at times, but on the other hand, you know, I would like to... Sorry?
What kind of bottles?
Well, interesting. Well, quite nice tasting. The contents are quite nice tasting. But really, I'd love to recycle more plastic, but there just isn't enough stuff which I can recycle, and I wish someone would do something about it.
She's in a brown bag.
Brown bag? My wife takes every brown bag off me because she wants them for seeds. That's where you keep seeds. So I don't see any brown bags. They just whip straight off into the greenhouse. But that's a rant. Okay, fine. Councillor Godfrey.
Can I ask a very simple question? And obviously, we're living in a changing times. Costs are going up for various reasons. Obviously, we have a contract between the Royal and Stafford Council. Is the contract robust enough to take any large increases in your operating costs that may be due to climate change, it may be due to the suppliers, etc.? Are you happy that everything will stay as it is?
You just said it was a simple question to begin with.
This isn't a complicated one, I've got coming up.
It's difficult to say, isn't it? Is it robust enough? Obviously, well, you can look at the fact that fuel's increasing at the moment. Fuel increasing will affect the indexation each year. The contract is linked to indexation, so therefore there's a sort of bit of security for us there. Purchase of vehicles at the moment, literally, our suppliers will not provide quotations because of the volatility of the materials involved, you know, steel at the moment. So. And we have to look to next year to buy a fleet of vehicles, don't we, which are due for renewal. So whether it's robust enough, it's difficult to say. You know, what direction is the economy, how far is in the direction is the economy going to go? Is inflation going to go to a higher level? Is it going to stay at a relatively low level? What I will say is, whether it's robust enough or not, you know, it goes into loss making, it doesn't affect the quality of service that we'll provide the borough. You know, when we bid this contract, we weren't in the best position, and we're at a stage where at the moment it's off the radar, but we're relatively happy with where we sit. But inevitably, these contracts, as the vehicles get older and vehicle maintenance costs increase, you know, the profitability, if there is profitability, dives. So what we signed up for, it's you know, we've got to provide the service. We're not the kind of contractor that would say come back for more money, or say sorry, we can't put these two vehicles out because we can't afford to run them. You know,
what's good to hear?
It's secure.
So it's that's very reassuring. You won't be coming back to it.
Absolutely not.
Right, thanks. Thank you very much, Councillor. Now, members, I sense there are no further questions. So what I'm going to do is the final part of this part of the meeting, and go through this page by page in case there's anything that you feel has been missed out that you'd like to comment on or ask a question about. I'm going to do it pretty quickly, so keep your wits about you. I'll be looking at my screen as well, so shout out, please. I know you want to say something. Right, page four, page five, page six. Yep, Councillor Godfrey?
Yeah, just a quick, can I just ask, I think I know the answer to this, but the percentages on 5.5, 99.92% of collections completed successfully, then below 36.24% increase in miscollections. I assume that the 36.24 is the increase on what it was before, but I'm assuming that's what it is.
Sorry, you're on page six. And that is.
It's
5.5 collection key figures.
Yeah, 5.5, page 6.
B and C. Robert's helping you with that.
The increase was due to the pandemic and the increased agency staff that we were using at the time, and obviously the absentee. There's some of that included as well. We had to share some of the round knowledge with the crews that were delivering bags. So we removed one of the guys with the knowledge of loads of where to go. There's normally two on, but at least on the other end of the game. But one of those had to then go with a bag delivery crew, so they've got the knowledge of where to go as well. So it's a combination of different things.
I think it's an arithmetical question we're asking,
yeah,
really, isn't it?
Exactly. It was actually the collections completed successfully. It was practically 100%. And underneath it, it's got increased miscollections. It's 36.24. And I'm assuming that the 36.24 is an increase in what it was before. I'm assuming that's what it is.
Yes. And that's presumably because it's 99.92% of collections completed successfully. It's the residual ones.
Yeah.
That make it up to 100%, and it's that latter one which the 36.24% increases is actually focusing on.
24% of 0.08.
Yeah, that's right. Just testing. Is that okay, Councillor Godfrey? Right. So we move on from page 6 to 7 to 8 to 9, 10, 11. 12, 13.
Stop.
Yep. Yes, Councillor James.
Civic community sites visits were suspended on 20th March 2020.
No.
When do you think they're going to be reintroduced?
Sorry, I think that's the answer. You'll answer that.
Yeah, Chair, if you don't mind. That is under review at the moment, reintroducing civic community site visits. With the pandemic and with the logouts that we hear is staffed with HGV drivers and fuel shortages, we just want to ensure we safeguard the priority services, which is the collection rounds. But it is on our radar to review, but at the moment we haven't made a decision as to yet as to what the future will be.
Very nice. Happy with that, Councillor James?
Yeah, it's the rural.
Okay, thanks very much indeed. So we now move on, page 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20,
yes,
19. Councillor Pardesi.
The near Mrs. Chair, 71 during the whole year, that's over one a week. As near Mrs. Go, is that something we should be worried about?
A near miss is something, or a close call is something that's reported in advance of an accident or incident happening. So it's a proactive way to resolve issues. So it may be something like an overgrown hedge where we can't have access. So the theory is the more near misses and close encounters that you can have that you can resolve before an incident occurs is better. So it's something I think that we've worked on in this coming year to increase as well. So we are looking to increase them with improved reporting from the guides, but it's there as a preventative measure to ensure the safety of the guide at the end of the day.
Okay, thanks a lot. Okay, thank you. So now we move on from page 19 to 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. 31.
Chair.
Yeah, Councillor
Godfrey. Yeah, Chair. Page 31, the last census before the graph, the owner have not yet received a response from SPSC at the time of writing, and as such, we have not yet agreed an annual KPI recycling rate target. So I assume that information has come through from SPSC now?
Yeah, the recycling rates.
We have agreed that now, yeah.
That's
been
through.
Yeah.
Okay. So page 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, oh no, 40. That's the end of it. So I think we've given that a good going over, members. And can I say thank you very much indeed to both our guests for their presentation and answering all the questions. And I hope you enjoyed it. It should be fun as well. But,
if you did, you should get out more.
To be fair, the first thing I'm going to do tomorrow is find out whether these plastics strong enough to
the
Okay, well, thank you very much indeed for coming. Thank you for the presentation. So, have you got all your gear?
I think
you need a... I mean, you don't mind if you leave it. I mean, that's fair enough. I'm sure the council can make use of it. Right, well, while that's happening, members, I think we should move on to 7B, which is the fees and charges review.
Mr. Chairman, can I just go back note the report?
Oh, yes, I'm so sorry. Yes, me no. Andrew's very good at that. He always writes it in. But so if I omit to say that, he just puts it in anyway. But you're quite right. And we note the report. All agreed?
Agreed.
Oh, good. Right. Right, now we come on to the fees and charges review on page 41. We've got the report detail. Fine, let's get on to the main bit, which is for us, and it's the legal fees. And they're all new legal fees. All new. So anyone want to make a point about that? Well, let's see if the members want to make a point about that first, Councillor Smith, there. Or if an officer wishes to respond first. Do you want to say anything at all, Ian?
Just to say that they're not new fees as such. They're new for the fees and charges schedule. They are fees that we charge on a case-by-case basis to cover our costs, not profit-making. But we're assured service, we have disclosed these fees in our kind of fees and charges, so we're just introducing them into the Stafford fees and charges.
Okay. So it's just almost a sort of technical thing, is it?
Yeah, it's just to be transparent. This is what you can expect
okay.
for legal fees to cost.
And these don't make a profit. They're calculated to break even.
Yeah, cover the cost of actual hourly time.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Well, that's non-controversial then. And then the Saltings mobile homes. And do these people have to pay this much every week? The Saltings mobile home site, do they pay sort of, what, a single plot, £29.57 a week? Or they will do. Why?
That's the pitch fee. It's standard across all mobile home sites to charge a pitch fee.
Oh, right.
And it's the practice in law that it's presumed that you would increase it annually in line with RPI.
What do they get for that? Do they get anything for it?
They get the license to put their mobile home on the pitch.
Right, it seems a bit circular, doesn't it? So they're paying for the license to put their mobile home on a pitch, and it's costing them £29.57 a week.
It's a couple of thousand.
Multiply that by 52.
It's cheaper than rent.
It's 15 £15. But presumably they've had to pay for their mobile home. Oh, right. Okay. Well, I suppose these days young people have to pay such vast mortgages, and it must seem like a paltry amount. Oh, goodness. Okay. You're going to rush out and get one, aren't you? Now that you've heard about it. Right. Shall we note that then, members?
Yeah,
note all that. Jolly good. So we now come on to item number 7C, which is quarter two performance reporting. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you for being there. Right, now. Where are we? We come. I'm going to the appendix on page 50.
Page
50?
Page 50? Oh, Chair, what happened to page 48
and 49? Oh, sorry, you're right. I should have. I must have flipped through them a bit. Page 47. Page 48. Page 48.
Yes, Chair.
Oh, Councillor Pardesi.
Paragraph 5.4, Chair.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming that a person hasn't paid their council tax or business arrears because of genuine hardship, I don't understand how they can then be expected to pay the arrears as well as paying the current charges. How is a person able to do that if they can't do pay the regular charge originally?
Now we have someone who's going to try and answer that, aren't we, Rob? Good.
I suppose the answer is that's why you employ me and the staff to do that.
Right.
You'll always sit down and talk to people about what help's available,
mm-hmm.
There's reductions, benefits, and things that people can claim, and agree repayments. Repayment plan that people can pay. That's what we're always aim to do. As long as people will engage with us in that way and make those agreements with us.
It's
increased during the pandemic of what's going on. That's business as usual. If you have a revenue department, it's discussing how people will pay their arrears. Bearing in mind, you get a new council tax bill every year, so you've always got that next choice to pay as well as catching up with your arrears.
Provision. Well, what choice do they have, Chair? I had a GP on a Zoom meeting recently say that he was very pleased how his patients had adapted to video consultations and so on. Yes, but how many like me had to make sure her son was at home to make sure she could get logged on and everything? People are still struggling. We mustn't assume for our convenience that they're happy and they can do it totally unassisted, Chair. And this allows the streamlining of services. Well, streamlining for me, Chair, is a euphemism for cutting services here and there. That's my opinion, Chair. Thank you.
They were my words, so for me, it's to respond, we do. We have got people that will help. It's not a case of you do it online or that's the end of it, we don't help you type of thing. I have got people ready, willing, and able, staff ready, willing, and able to help people that need that help.
and to have a face-to-face conversation.
Absolutely, yeah. Face-to-face, we prefer to be by appointment. I haven't got people waiting, sitting sort of waiting for unexpected drop-ins, if you like. But we will make appointments if we need to see people face-to-face. That's what we will do. What we're finding in conversation with those people is that they don't need face-to-face appointments. We can usually resolve things over the telephone, whether that's dealing with them directly over the telephone or talking to the people how they want to use the technology and the electronic forms. And let's not forget that for sort of a number of years we've wanted people to do things in that way. We have a massive increase in, through necessity obviously, massive increase in how people have had to have things online and deal with things online.
I think what I also quite like hearing is the fact that it's not necessarily a take it or leave it thing in terms of the repayments, sort of, but there is some negotiation that goes on. There is some probing to see what could be paid back and how, and what, how budgets might be adjusted or whatever.
Absolutely correct.
And that's, I think, what Citizens Advice Bureau would probably recommend, in fact, wouldn't it, as a way
absolutely
of operating. Are you happy with that, Councillor Pardew?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Right. Okay, thanks very much. Thank you very much, Rob. So that's page 48. 49, no, another there. 50.
50, yeah.
Councillor Godfrey.
Thank you. It's just, it's just the way I'm reading this, I'm sure, but it doesn't seem to make sense to me, which most things don't make sense to me. If you look at LI18, which is building control customers satisfied or very satisfied with the service, and it's got below target at the final column. If you scroll down, and if you've got a computer in front of you, down to page 53, and you look at 4.3.2, it says that 100% of customers consider the service to be very good. So am I reading that wrong?
Through you, Chair. We asked the question that refers to, we banned it. So whether they were satisfied with the service, very good, neutral, poor, or very poor.
Yeah.
And the replies on, and then the percentage is measured on the good and very good.
Yeah.
So the 100% for the quarter two is good and very good, but in fact they all said very good. So that's why in the commentary I actually said very good, to highlight that, I think, which was, and I think that was the contrast with quarter one, where we had the poorer performance, the
right
fact that it had turned around for quarter two. So the 100% is sort of good and very good, and actually all said very good.
Could you see where that confusion arose? it does say on page 50, they say below target.
Yes.
I get what you're saying.
Through you, Chair, I do have to apologise. There isn't an actual typo on that, so it should actually be 90% and on track, which is probably part of the confusion, Councillor Godfrey.
Thank you.
Ah, so is that the year end forecast, then, Greg?
Yes,
it should be 90%, not 70%.
Yes.
Oh, right. Well, that makes a material difference, doesn't it? Yeah, okay. Okay, thanks for that clarification. Thank you very much indeed for that. Thank you. Okay, so that was page 50. 51, 52, 53, 54. 55. We're now to the figures. It's budget monitoring. It's the 30th September 2021. So 55, 56, 57.
57, Chair.
57, Councillor Godfrey.
Staffing variations, 13,000. Let's see, second lot of figures down there. Just wondered what that one was. Is that one post, presumably?
So through you, Chair. So apologies that there's nobody here from Finance tonight. Unfortunately, they weren't able to make it. So I understand that the staffing variations are just bits of money that are left over. They could be from posts that have been advertised or posts that haven't been appointed yet.
So it's
it isn't an
ones that are still vacant, yes, I get that. Yeah. That's, you know, that's what I assumed it was, and which leads the chair to wonder why the posts haven't been filled yet.
Do we have any information about why the posts haven't been filled?
We can take any questions we can take.
It could be helpful, actually.
If I come to you, Chair, it's a regular question for me, as you probably aware. I am concerned about the way pubs are left open. Or not, even if it's not deliberately left open, but they are left open, I'm concerned about a word on my colleagues because it's a very disappointing request.
Yes?
Excuse me, I think, Chair, it's the fact that when these reports are put together, it's the timing to when people are in the recruitment process. There's very specific, I know, customer services, we have just recruited in the last few weeks, we've got other vacancies, there it is, so it's the timing that you get all of the vacancies and any monies is based on when the reports are done and where people are. We are not stopping vacancies going forward and recruitment process. In fact, the recruitment at the moment is extremely busy for us and has been recently.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. Well, we've got resources as well, haven't we? 153,000 staff vacancies, but I understand there are explanations for that as well, which I think officers have told me about. We've got problems. There are vacancies there which are being filled, in fact. Yeah. And I know with customer services, for example, that's been filled by three people on a sort of part-time basis. Which they can be flexible with hours as well. So that actually is a bit out of date as well, because we've now filled that one post with three.
Yes, this is actually for quarter two, Chair, and we've sort of, time has moved on.
Yeah, that's right. It's frictional, isn't it? There's a lot of frictional stuff going on. Yeah. Okay. So there's 57, 58. 59, 60. Oh, Councillor Godfrey?
Just general, obviously looking at the figures and seeing all the reds figures everywhere, obviously it's exceptional times for the moment, and I assume this is the past majority of the reason for the figures being as they are. Obviously we could like car parking, etc., well down. So for once, I'm not going to give Castor Smith a hard time.
Right, so you
just this once.
That be limited, please.
page 60, 61, 62, and that's that. Then we come on to the old chestnut, review of the Constitution. And we've got information there about... We've got dates there?
Yes, Chairman.
Dates, yes.
Members, look on page 64. We've got some suggested dates to undertake the Constitution. Right. What we've not done yet is say where we're going to do it, because we do have the option with these of doing these virtually, but if we were doing them in person, I've tried to put them when we're already in the building.
Councillor,
could I suggest that it is done by MS Teams, please?
MS what? Rather than face to face?
Or Zoom.
Or Zoom.
I prefer Zoom.
It can be because it's a task. just to clarify, because it's a task and finish review, we can do it virtually, yes. And then when it comes to scrutiny, of course, it's face to face.
That's just my preference.
I think the point is, Chairman, if you're meeting after scrutiny committee, the regulations would require that to be live. Yeah. So if you're already meeting applicants for a live scrutiny committee, I think the proposal is those two, task and finish, would also be live. But if you're not coming in already for an official scrutiny committee, yes, we could do that by Teams or Zoom.
And it might also depend on where we are with the pandemic by that time, whether we're in lockdown or whatever.
So
you've got to be a bit careful there. Councillor Godfrey?
I think, Chair, it's now we are meeting live again. I think we should keep meeting live. Like you quite rightly say, things may change in the future. Let's hope they don't. But now we are meeting live, I think you can get far more out of a meeting like this then you can serving as a screen just asking one question and moving on to the next question, just a succession of questions.
Mm.
Whereas this is debate, and I think that's the difference. I think we should be more often like, look,
yeah,
all the time on this.
Well, I hope that, but certainly Ian's got a good point saying if it butts on to a resources scrutiny committee, it seems illogical really to do anything other than come in and have those meetings one after the other.
For example, the 31st of January, there is no scrutiny committee, and therefore it might be snowing.
The other thing, Mr. Chairman, for me, obviously we don't know how many meetings we're going to need. We know we've got at least one issue to look at, but we might not need all three.
Mm. So therefore we might just have the ones which butt on to the scrutiny committee.
Yeah.
But we don't know. So much depends on councillors and officers, isn't it? If they pile in with stuff and say, give us more delegated powers, then we've got to change the constitution and we end up with loads of meetings. And of course, if members put in big controversial issues which we've got to spend time dealing with, then of course, that has an impact. But just saying. Right. Moving on then, members.
So, Mr. Chairman, can we accept the dates as outlined in paragraph 5.4?
Yes, do you agree with those dates at least? Yeah, we ought to get that sorted.
Okay.
Yep, okay, happy with that. Good. Then the next thing is our final one, is our work programme. Seems that we're working harder than Jeffrey Cox. There we are. Let's have a look.
We can make more money.
Wouldn't that be nice? The first one is the 11th of November. It's fairly well populated.
It's 11th of January.
Oh, January, sorry. I keep looking at the wrong thing. 11th of January, pretty well populated, but we've got a lot of finance and, of course, the gender pay gap report on that as well. 15th of February we need to look at, actually. And don't forget, members, we do say every time... this is also down to members of the committee. There may well be issues of overview or scrutiny that you want to raise, you want to put on the agenda, that you'd like an officer's report from and so on, but you obviously need to give appropriate notice and so on. But the agenda is also in your hands. It is not something that is done to you, and it should not be something that is done to you. It should be done with you and by you. That's when it really starts taking off and being really successful. So please, if you have issues of overview or scrutiny which you want to raise, just talk to us about putting it on the agenda and so we can initiate an officer's report on that as well.
Are we able to make a suggestion now?
Absolutely.
Just planning, I know I raised this previously, and I was told planning came under the economic scrutiny. I personally feel, given the backlog that planning has undergone this year, that it should fall apart.
There was a comprehensive report to Tuesday's Economic Development and Planning Scrutiny Committee. It's just a shame because the chairman of that was behind you, he's left now, but the chief executive was grilled for about an hour on Tuesday about that.
Oh.
Robert was there.
That is a place to bring it up.
So, was anyone else at planning?
Yes.
So did you give it a good going over?
Oh, yes. Certainly.
Right. Well, I mean, that was a helpful comment, I think, because it actually generates information as well. Yes, Tracy.
Chair, would it be helpful if we could ask if the report could be circulated to members? Would that be helpful?
Yeah, that's a good idea, actually, yeah. So we'll have that report circulated to all members. So, and that's good. So even to those who aren't on planning and regeneration will get that. Because you're right, it does have financial implications. Actually, almost everything has financial implications. So it gives us a fairly wide palette to work with. Okay, but do remember that, members. This isn't something that other people do to you. You can do it for for the whole committee. You know, you can raise issues. It's for you and by you. Right, well, that's another rant out of the way. So there we are on that. There's nothing else. So we note the work programme, don't we?
Yes.
I remember that, Councillor James. You're training me. Right, well, members, that, I hope, I'm right in saying, is the end of our business. So thank you very much indeed for coming along today. Thank you also for your comments, your questions, all your attentiveness during the evening as well. Thank you very much. I think it's been a very useful evening. I hope we've all got something out of it. May I also thank the officers for all their contributions to the events, and also, of course, our cabinet members, lest we forget, one of whom has left. Unfortunately, he left before I could call him, which is unfortunate, but never mind.